Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owens.
If you would, please go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. 40 years ago, my father sent 3 sons to war. He didn't know if we would return, and if we did, whether we'd be corpse or cripples. Yes, I was the last to go. We sat together on a cold, hard bench in Portland Union's Pacific Depot, and we talked, small talk, clumsy talk, over and over again. Dad said, "Do you have everything that you need?" "Yes," I said, and I thought, what really does a fellow need going off to war but a toothbrush and a razor? Finally, he said, "We'll miss you." "I'll miss you too," I said. "We'll pray for you," he added. "I'll pray for you. We love you," he said. "I love you." I kept hoping to hear the train. Finally, it came. I can't remember ever seeing my father cry, yet my mother later told me that after the train pulled away from the depot, Dad placed his head on the steering wheel of his car and he sobbed. This father was sending his son off to face a deadly enemy in war, knowing full well ahead of time the stakes that were involved. He knew that his son would be facing an enemy that would stop nothing short of world conquest. It was a battle that had all or nothing consequences. But you know what? In a very similar way, God the Father sent his son off to face a deadly enemy that wanted to destroy him. And as soon as that enemy detected the appearance of the Son of God on earth, he was totally engrossed in destroying him and everything that he stood for. When the fullness of time had come, says Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his Son. From that day until the day that the battle was over, the enemy of our souls pulled out all the stops to destroy the Son of the living God. It started with the slaughter of the babies in Bethlehem by Herod, and it did not stop until the act of crucifying him that stopped the beating of his human heart. I tell you today that it was a battle for all of the ages. Do you realize what was at stake? Not his own life, not his own mission, but the lives of every God-loving person who would ever live. And who would ever live? I'm here to tell you this morning that God's Son courageously completed His mission. Today we can have peace, we can have hope because of His faithfulness. But what you have to understand is that we too have a mission as well. And it just doesn't involve our own lives. It involves the lives of all the people that we are able to influence. We must be faithful unto death if we are going to receive a crown of righteousness that the Lord has purchased for us. Some people say, well, you know what? To be faithful is in your mission is just something that's automatic. But that's not so. No, what we have to do is we have to apply ourselves to diligence if we are going to see our goal. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to look for just a few minutes at the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And then look at that and learn how that can help us to remain faithful in our own Christian lives. So let's read our text, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you be weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and you are not sons. He said, look unto Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's his command. You say, well, how can fixing my eyes and looking unto Jesus, how can that help me complete my mission? Well, I'm going to give you five ways today. First of all, his example of faithfulness is a direct source of faith. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, and then notice the rest of that. The author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. My friend, when your needs are great, I want to tell you, you want the very best help available. Isn't that right? I mean, if you've got cancer, you want the very best oncologist that you can find and afford. If you have heart disease, you want the very best cardiologist that you can find. A general practitioner, yeah, that's great for everyday uses. But when the stakes are high, you want the very best. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, what the writer does here is he has just completed an example of all those heroes that lived by faith, and it was a rather lengthy list. As a matter of fact, we just read it was a great cloud of witnesses, he says. And the point is, by studying the lives of such people, that we can gain a resolve for keeping our faith strong. But I want you to know something. These great cloud of witnesses, these heroes of faith, did you know that they had flaws in their own character? That they weren't perfect? We know that. And so what the Hebrew writer wants us to do is he wants us to focus our gaze beyond these people, beyond the people that did their best to live by faith, and look unto Jesus, the author of faith, because you can't get any better instruction in faithfulness than by looking to the faithful Son of God. Secondly, his example of faithfulness gives us a steady reference point. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. You know, when Jacob was a younger man, my Jacob, when he was a younger man, sometimes he'd get car sick. I can remember about 3 years ago, I was to perform my brother's wedding, and he was going to be married in the Smoky Mountains. So we left Missouri, and we went to the Smoky Mountains, and we went on those switchbacks, back and forth, and up and down, and then all of a sudden I heard something in the back, and it was Jacob. He said, oh, I don't feel very good. And we knew that we had to act, and act quick. And so we pulled off the road, and we took Jacob, and we put him up front next to me in the passenger seat. You know what? That helped him a great deal. And what helped him was this, putting him in a position where he had a good reference point, where he could focus on something, a non-moving object. And it helped him greatly. But our walk of faith is like that sometimes. Sometimes we are hit by trials and temptations and disappointments. And sometimes in such rapid succession that we can become spiritually disoriented. And the result is that we will end up tossing more than our cookies. We can end up tossing our faith. Listen to me. There is no better place to be than in the Word of God. considering the example and life and faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, when we're in there, what we are doing, we are reading and we are infusing the truths of His life and we put them into our life, and that gives us a steady reference point so that you and I do not lose our spiritual bearings. I want you to look at verse 3 of our text. It says, "For considering Him who has endured such hostilities from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." A lot of times what happens in our Bible study at home is we'll take our Bibles and we'll read a paragraph or two and then we'll shut them with little recollection of what we've just read. And you know what? That doesn't cut it. The word translated "consider" here in our verse is the Greek word from where we get our English word "analyze." It means to estimate, to contemplate is what it means. It has to do with thinking and weighing and comparing to know what Jesus did in each of the situations that He faced. My friend, this morning, if you are facing one of the greatest temptations of your life, you need a reference point to stop of the out-of-control spinning. You really do. What you need to do is carefully consider Jesus Christ, how He handled the stresses that you are facing right now. And you know the great thing about the Lord? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that He never sinned. He never gave in. He is the standard reference point. Thirdly, His example of faithfulness reminds us of our goal. The text says in verse 2, "Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of God." You know that Jesus' ultimate joy was not the cross. It wasn't. He was looking beyond the cross, the joy that was set before Him. You know, in golf, a very common beginning lesson, which I haven't learned yet, that is to do this. It is the importance of following through. Said another way, that they teach you not to check your swing. That you want to hit through the ball. Because if you don't hit through the ball, you will slow your swing too early and you will hit that ball with less than optimum energy and it's going to fall short of the green. Well, the same idea is right here. Jesus' joy wasn't the cross, but it was His resurrection. It was a happiness that He would experience when He knew that He had redeemed the lost world. It was the honor that would be bestowed on Him when He was back in heaven at the right hand of God. That was the joy that He was to have. And I want you to look in your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. And Peter also gives us this same idea. And Paul says something almost very similar in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. But I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Peter writes this. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The key phrase there is "may be found," or "to result in the praise, glory, and honor of Jesus Christ," at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That tells me, my friend, that whatever it is that you are going through right now in your life, guess what? It will be over soon. If you remain faithful, you will have all of eternity to be grateful that you did not give in. Don't give in. Follow Christ's example in faithfulness. Fourthly, the example of His faithfulness shows us that things are not usually as bad as we think they are. How many of us at some point came to a place in our life where we thought, you know what? I'm at the end of my rope. Have you ever said that? Only discover that you had a whole lot more rope left than you thought. Many of us quit long before the circumstances merit it. I don't know about you, but as I go through life, I think that somehow that is a part of human nature. to struggle with the desire to want to quit at some point. I don't do this very often, but a few months before I moved back down to Huntsville, I remember that I had an appointment at the office, and I had my little Toyota Echo, and it gets really good gas mileage. And I left the house and pulled out on the gravel road into the highway, and I was a couple of miles away from the house, and I noticed that little flashing fuel light. I was about to run out of gas. And it was another 10, 12 miles to town. There's not a store or a gas station. And I didn't know how much fuel I had left, and so I had to make a decision, a choice. What am I going to do? Am I going to go back home, go in the barn, get the gas can, put more gas in, and then maybe be late for my appointment? Or am I going to go ahead and hope that I make it? Well, I deliberated for just a second. And you know what I decided to do? I said, I'm going to go for it. And you know what happened? I made it. Matter of fact, when I filled up, I could have gone 40 or 50 miles. And it may well be in our Christian lives that we need to go back and we need to get some more fuel. Or maybe we just need to press on. One option that we should never, ever succumb to is to pull over to the side of the road and quit. Don't quit. How far does the Lord expect me to go in resisting sin? Why don't you look at our text? How far did Jesus go? Verse 4 says this, "You have not resisted to the point of bloodshed in your striving against sin." I cannot endure this lousy marriage one more day. If my boss says one more cross word to me, I don't care how much stress it caused this family, I'm out of here. I cannot go any longer without giving in to the temptation. I give up. Listen, you and I, we have a promise from God in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that we will not be tempted beyond what we are able to bear. That is His promise. Number 5. His example of faithfulness reminds us that hard times are a validation of our sonship. Some people say, you know, I'm one of God's children, and it's not right that I suffer. I mean, I know a whole lot more other people in my life. They're doing a whole lot better than I am, and they're not even Christians. They don't even know God. This is unthinkable. It's not fair. Oh, where did you get that idea? Who told you that? When you consider Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, what does this passage say? It says that He suffered. My friend, do you outrank Jesus? Do I outrank Jesus? No, we do not. Jesus Christ endured. Jesus Christ suffered. And while you may be thinking, you know, things aren't right. I don't think things are right when sometimes I have to suffer for my faith. Well, you know, the truth is, it may be an indication that things are just as they ought to be in your life. It's a good thing that you're suffering. That means when you're struggling, you're striving. I want you to look at verses 5 and 6. This is what He says. "For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son He receives." Verse 8, "But if you are without discipline, which we all become partakers, you are illegitimate children and not sons." So it seems here to me that a lack of trouble could be more spiritually threatening than the presence of it. And we need to remember that. I want to close this morning. I want to do something very practical here. I want to give you 5 ways that you and I can develop faithfulness. If you've got a pen or pencil, you might want to write these down. I want to give you 5 ways, because we always want to emulate our Lord and Jesus. 5 ways that you can develop faithfulness. First of all, start with the little things. Too often when we want to practice and learn new things in our life, we want to kill the giant before we learn to use the slingshot. But Jesus gave His plan for developing faithfulness in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. He said, listen, He said, "You have been faithful in few things. I will make you ruler over many things." More often than not, Faithfulness is developed in the little things, the everyday things. Like being here with the saints whenever the doors are open. Like being on time, paying your bills, managing your income properly. Be disciplined in your prayer life, in your Bible study life, your responsibilities that you have at home, at church, with the lost. Telling the truth when the situation may tempt you to do otherwise. You don't have to wait for the great test, David and Goliath moment, Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You don't have to wait for a great test. Start with the things that are in front of you right now. Start with the little things. Secondly, be meticulous in all of our dealings. When the grocery store clerk gives you too much change, it probably won't break Walmart. It probably is not going to break Target if you put that in your pocket. But let me tell you, it will break up your faithfulness. If you're married and you're dealing with a member of the opposite sex, you live above reproach in every way, in everything that you do. Don't you ever give your mate, ever, any reason to doubt your faithfulness. And don't you put yourself in a situation where you will be tempted. My friend, if you're being tempted right now, you get out. You get out of that situation. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, he said, "Flee from youthful lust." My friend, that is still very good advice. Number three, concentrate on being faithful when no one is watching. You see, it's easy to be faithful when people are looking at you and when they're watching. How about when no one knows? I can't help think about Joseph who went into the land of Egypt where no one in his own mind cared about him. Where no one loved him. Where no one knew him. How easy it would have been to sin with Potiphar's wife. But he didn't. You see, who we are when no one is looking is who we really are. Number four. In difficult situations, make up your mind ahead of time to be faithful. Remember when Daniel was deported as a youth from Judah to Babylon? According to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says that he made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine that he drank. In the difficult areas of life that call for faithfulness, if we wait until the last moment to decide what we're going to do, we are usually overcome because of a poor choice. Are you dating? What are you going to do when things get out of hand, get a little too hot and heavy? What are you going to do? You made your mind up? How are you going to avoid that situation? I had a girl in my youth group one time. And she said, "Paul," she said, "whenever that happens, and whenever he gets too close to me," she says, "I always look at him, I say, let's pray." It worked every time. You know why? She had purposed in her heart ahead of time of what she was going to do when the temptation had presented itself. Lastly, be slow to make promises and keep the promises that you make. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25. Chapter 20, verse 25 says, "Look, it is a snare for a man to rashly say, 'It is holy,' and then after the vow, make inquiry." And the idea here is to think before you make a commitment, even to the church, to your children, to a colleague. It is better to say no than to say yes and not follow through on your commitment. Several years ago, a man was making a routine flight from Portland, Maine to Boston, Mass. Henry Dempsey was his name. And he was flying that commuter aircraft. He heard a strange noise in the back, and so he turned the controls over to his co-pilot and he said, "I'm going to go back and find out what that noise is." And so he walks back to the back of the plane, and when he gets to the tail section, the airplane hits an air pocket and it thrust him against the door. And then Henry immediately knew what the source of the mysterious noise was someone had not properly latched the back door. When his weight flew against that door, it opened and it sucked Henry out of the plane. It sucked him out of the jet. Well, the co-pilot detected that the door was open from the instrument panel, and he radioed the nearest control tower requesting permission to land. He said, "Look, the door is open and my colleague has fallen out." But his old Henry has fallen out. He grabbed the outdoor ladder. And there he hung on to that rung of that ladder, going over 200 miles an hour as they descended from 4,000 feet. 10 minutes later, that jet landed, and old Henry's head was only 12 inches off the tarmac. And according to the newspaper report, it took airport personnel minutes to pry his fingers off the rung of that ladder. You know, that's an amazing story. But my friends, it is nothing compared to the way that Jesus Christ held on to His mission that He was sent by His Father to accomplish. And it still is very attractive to those of us who want nothing more in our lives to fulfill our mission that He has left for us. Today, are you hanging on with all your might like old Henry? For your life, for eternity? I pray that you are. That's what I pray for all of us, that we are faithful day in and day out to the Lord. Not perfect, just faithful. This morning we come to our time of helping. If there's a way in which we can help you, we would love to. Maybe it is today that you've let go. That the pressures of life and the struggles that you've said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I've given in to the temptation. Where are you headed? If you were to die today, what about your eternal state? Will you be restored back to the Lord today? And make the promise to Him that I will be faithful unto death, no matter what. I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm not leaving anything on the table. Lord, I'm going to be faithful to You. This morning, if you're not a Christian, then you can't be faithful because you're not even in the faith. Will you repent of your sins? Will you stand before this audience this morning and say, "Yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God," as Peter did in Matthew 16? Will you be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins? Rising up out of the water, a child of God, walking in a new life. Will you do that today as we stand and as we sing?
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.